involves the risk of loss.
Morning news on KSTK is supported in part by Wrangle Insurance. Wrangle Insurance can help you insure alternative modes of transportation like motorcycles, scooters, or an electric car. Quotes are available at 907-874-2359 or on the web at www.p-wins.com.
Current weather conditions in Wrangell, overcast skies, 45 degrees. Today, sprinkles after 10 a.m. Mostly sunny with highs near 51. Calm wind becoming northwest around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, sprinkles before 10 p.m. Partly cloudy with lows around 41. Calm wind becoming southwest around 5 miles per hour. Wednesday, partly sunny with highs near 55. Northeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Thursday, mostly sunny, highs near 59, calm wind. Friday, mostly sunny, highs near 62. Saturday, chance of rain, mostly cloudy with highs near 59. Sunday, rain likely, partly sunny with highs near 54. Monday, rain likely, cloudy, highs near 50. And moving on to our local report. Before the bear season gets rolling, a group of Wrangell High School students has been working at the Ann Bear Observatory about 30 miles from town. They've been collaborating with the U.S. Forest Service to set up live bear cameras. KSTK's Colette Zarnicki joined them on one of their trips to get a sneak peek at their project.
Our captain drops us off at the trailhead at Annan Bay. It's a sunny and dry day, but the ground still feels moist. After all, we're in the Tongass National Rainforest. Downed trees are blanketed with moss, and Usnea, also called Old Man's Beard, hangs from the tall evergreen trees. From the boat, it's about a quarter mile hike to the observation deck.
If we did see a bear, we're going to group up.
Jen Cardiac is the Annan camp manager for the U.S. Forest Service.
I'll start talking to it, and then I'll gauge if we need to back up to give it some room to either go up or down the side of the trail. But most important, don't scream or don't run, and we all stay together.
Cardiac is leading us along the gravel trail that winds through the trees. There are 6 high school students today, but 14 have been working on the project. Also along are Forest Service workers and educators with T3 Alliance, which stands for Teaching Through Technologies. T3 Alliance has been teaching the Wrangell students STEM skills, or what's science, technology, engineering, and math. The collaboration between the school, the Forest Service, and T3 is a 5-year program funded through a $300,000 grant. Claire Froelich is a park ranger with the U.S. Forest Service. She says getting the work done before bear season picks up makes it easier on everyone.
With the bears and everything, it becomes harder because then every trip to point A to B is its own challenge of safety and everything. And then getting large equipment out here for bringing a bunch of solar panels, you probably wouldn't want to do that like right before the season because that's not, you know. So all of those things need to happen now.
Froelich says that this is their 3rd visit to Annan. The group is bringing the generator today because the observatory deck is very remote with no power source. A drone flies past the deck and overhead above the swiftly flowing river. Students are getting visuals of the area to find the best spots to set up live cameras. Jackson Carney is a freshman in high school, and it's his first project with the group.
We want a fish cam, we want one up here, and we want another one somewhere. We're not 100% sure about that one. The bottom ones on the observation deck, we actually have to wait until construction is done to place.
Claire Froelich is helping the students figure out possible areas to place cameras.
You can't get a good front-facing view of it because it's on a cliff going down to a rapid or like water.
She says they're going to try to get a good canopy map and see where the open areas are. They also want to put cameras at Upper Falls, so they snap pictures of that area too. Junior Andrew Edens received his drone pilot license through T3. He's been involved with T3 for the past 2 years. He started working on Annan this past December. He says the ultimate goal is to get 5 cameras installed, but this year they're focusing on just 2.
I really love this planning phase, but I really do want to push forward to installation, just like get everything ready, keep moving. And then, of course, next year we're going to have a really another challenging project within this project still.
That's phase two, where they will be setting up a camera about 2,000 feet northeast from the observatory deck at Upward Falls. The students split into two teams of three and start working on their goals: power, Starlink internet, 12 solar panels, and camera placement. As they're discussing where to place conduit connections, Cardiac gives a few suggestions. She says to make sure the wires are in metal because bears love anything that has a plastic, oily taste.
Just be cognizant that bears are like puppies. They will chew on everything.
She also has a fun suggestion on where to place one of the cameras.
Now we want to not only provide the viewing opportunity of the salmon, because it can be really cool to see the bear claw come in and catch a fish when the camera's focused on it, but also now just for outreach, because there are people that will never make it to Alaska.
Brian Reggiani is here with the University of Alaska Fairbanks Upward Bound. He also works with T3.
One of the things that we found that really makes a difference is these community impact projects. So anytime that students can be working on a project that helps their community, it really helps helps them with buy-in, and they're really excited to learn and grow and help out.
Freshman Madeline Davies joined the T3 program about a month ago.
We've got a lot of measurements for like where we can place solar panels and their wires, like how it's going to run unseen.
Yeah, we got some ideas on how to like connect everything and how it's all going to work out.
And that's 10th grader Kaylee Herman. They're working together as a team.
I was thinking we have one camera for this whole area and then another camera on the side or on the corner over there.
I like the idea. Let's do that.
Because there's a popular fishing spot down there.
Yeah, come on.
So like this is the most Wolverine. Yeah. This is her favorite spot right there.
It's time to head back to the boat before the tide recedes. The students decided to place one camera showing the caves where the bears like to hang out, and the other will be an underwater fish camera. They also ordered all the equipment needed to complete the project. Besides the bear cams, Edens and other students also designed a Forest Service cabin at Little Lakes in Wrangell. It will be constructed this summer. The students will eventually earn a badge, which is a type of engineering certification that says they worked on a large project. They'll also get engineering credits. In Wrangell, I'm Colette Zarnicki.
In other news, the Petersburg School District will join a group that is planning to sue the state for failure to properly fund education. The Petersburg School Board voted unanimously to join the Coalition of Education Equity at their meeting earlier this month on April 16th. The nonprofit advocates for education policy in Alaska. Executive Director Caroline Storm addressed the school board at its last meeting.
Our core purpose is to champion adequacy and equity for all kids, and holding the state accountable to its constitutional obligation to fund public education and keep public funds in public schools.
The state is constitutionally obligated to adequately fund schools, according to past court rulings. The group has been advocating for the past 2 years for a significant, permanent, and inflation-proof increase to the state's per-student funding formula or base student allocation. Bipartisan education legislation that would have permanently increased the base student allocation by $680 was vetoed by Governor Mike Dunleavy last month. A veto override failed by one vote. It would have been the first significant increase to the state's school funding formula since 2016. An operating budget with $175 million in one-time education funding has passed the House and seems to have support in the Senate. It would be equivalent to a $680 per student increase, but just for 1 year. Dunleavy can line item veto some or all of that funding. Storm says the group will file a lawsuit even if the legislature passes one-time education funding, because without dependable funding, districts can't plan long-term, and because a $680 per student increase doesn't come close to what districts need. 15 school districts in the state are members of the nonprofit. Storm says because education funding is tight, it can be hard for districts to find the money to pay the $8,000 yearly membership, but she says they're rethinking those fees.
I wasn't part of how the fee structure was set up originally, but it doesn't work for me. So that is in review, so that in fact, the smaller districts will pay a much lower membership fee. I don't want the fee to be a barrier to districts joining.
During a presentation to the Petersburg School Board earlier this month, Storm emphasized that the group will not ask member districts to pony up more money for legal fees to pay for the lawsuit against the state. The Coalition for Education Equity has had success with lawsuits in the past. More than a decade ago, it won a suit with the state over construction funding practices that discriminated against rural schools. The group settled with the state in a second lawsuit that alleged the state education system didn't sufficiently support Alaska's underperforming schools. And it's the National Week of Action for Missing and Murdered Indigenous People, MMIP. In Bethel, local organizations are coming together to host the community's third annual MMIP March for Justice. Joy Anderson is a member of the March's planning committee and works for the Alaska Legal Services Corporation. She spoke on local morning show Coffee at KYUK.
The march, it's really, when people participate, it's an acknowledgement that it's not any one person's issue to solve, but really everyone in the community is responsible to make sure that we see this crisis end in our region.
Alaska Native people, especially Alaska Native women, experience higher rates of violence than non-Native people. Indigenous women in Alaska are 10 times more likely to be murdered by a man than their white neighbors. Thousands of cases of missing or murdered Indigenous people have gone unsolved or uninvestigated. Roxanne Sadler is the manager of the Association of Village Council Presidents Tribal Justice Program.
In our region, we have so many people who travel on the river, you know, who come from villages for doctor's appointments. You know, there's a lot of reasons why people end up in Bethel. And I think the biggest awareness and prevention is to teach your kids and your family a healthy lifestyle and talk to your kids and talk to your young adults about making good choices and that your choices affect the outcome, not just for yourself, but for other people that care about you.
Bethel's 2024 MMIP March will kick off with speakers and organizers say community organizations will have giveaways at the march. Sadler says the march has enjoyed wide local support, but encourages communities across the region to join in.
We're also encouraging tribal communities. If you are not from Bethel and you want to participate from another community, please reach out to us and just show your support for the walk in your community.
Beyond the Walk, organizations throughout the state of Alaska are working to create solutions. Community organizations are pushing for better community resources and a change to the reporting and accountability systems on MMIP cases. A bill working its way through the state legislature this session would kick off that change and would establish a state missing and murdered Indigenous persons review commission to increase transparency and accountability on MMIP cases. Bethel's 2024 MMIP March is scheduled to start at the AVCP Family Services Center 12:15 p.m. on Friday, May 3rd. The route will follow the highway to the Joe Lomac building. Whether or not people attend the march, Sadler says people should consider supporting the cause by dressing the part as well.
Red is the identifying color for our MMIP. So in support of MMIP Walk, we're asking everybody to wear red.
Before the walk, organizers will also host a poster-making event at the Family Services Center from 1 to 5 p.m. on Wednesday, May 1st. That wraps up our local, regional, statewide report. Stay with us for Wrangell's Community Calendar right after Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. In northern Colorado, retired teachers are returning to classrooms to help students learn about climate change and take action in their communities.
To create robust project-based learning that oftentimes teachers don't have the capacity to build out on their own.
Tiffany Boyd leads Classrooms for Climate Action, a nonprofit. She says retired teachers like her know how to run a classroom, so they can easily step in to help out. And they have the time to develop projects with local experts and groups working on climate solutions. In Louisville, Colorado, her group helped teach fifth graders about wildfires and arranged for them to help the city pull invasive grasses that can fuel a spreading fire. In Boulder, they helped fourth graders study local flooding and develop presentations for city officials about ways to protect vulnerable communities.
Project-based learning really involves connecting kids to what's happening with the issues in their community. And that takes a lot of bandwidth from a teacher. And with a big group of retired teachers and other community members coming in, that kind of learning is made more possible.
Boyd says participating in climate action projects empowers students with the understanding that they can create change. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Support for this station comes from City Market Wrangell, hiring cashiers, stockers, produce clerks, and deli clerks. A full list of vacancies and more information is available at City Market Wrangell, 423 Front Street, or email cmiaccounts@citymarket.com or at 907-874-3333.
And taking a look at what's happening in the Wrangell community calendar. But first, we do have one radiogram going out to Chief Lukanich and anyone else who donated to KSDK and received tomato plants from Bruce Eagle. Please pick up your tomato plants ASAP. They are outgrowing their containers. And thanks for donating. All right. And just a reminder, folks, that you can still join your friends, family, neighbors, in supporting your public radio station. $21,000 is a spring pledge drive goal. It was not met during the on-air portion of the pledge drive, so now we're going to enter the quiet drive, you could call it. We'll jump on here every once in a while when you have a live host, remind you to support your public radio station. And you'll maybe hear a couple of recorded reminders throughout the day, just reminding you that $21,000 is the amount of money needed to keep public radio at the level you all enjoy. So if you have not done your part yet in supporting public radio, please do that today. 907-874-2345. You can go onto the web to ksdk.org. And you can join your friends Janet and Dennis Strom. Thank you so much for supporting public radio. And you guys actually are going to be walking away with a Java Junkies coffee gift card thanks to Alaska Vista. So make sure to stop by KSDK and get your Java Junkies Alaska gift card or Alaska Vistas gift card. Thanks again so much to AK Vistas for making that donation and to the Stroms for making their pledge of support to public radio as well. And folks, if you didn't hear about it yesterday, I'm going to remind you we have some Michael Franti tickets. Michael Franti is performing in Juneau this August 6th at Centennial Hall. The concert promoter has donated two tickets for KSDK to use during this membership drive to encourage you to donate. The ticket price is $85 per ticket. That's a value of $170 for two tickets. And we're giving those tickets away to the Michael Franti concert in Juneau to the first person to donate $150. So you're saving quite a few bucks there, folks. The ticket holder's name, phone number, and email address will be provided to the event promoter. Tickets will be collected at will call at the event. So this is pretty exciting, folks. If you are a Michael Franti fan, maybe you just like live music, maybe you've been wanting to take a staycation within your state, this is the time. The concert is August 6th at Centennial Hall. It's going to be a real great fun time up there in Juneau. $150 donation to your public radio station and you could be headed on to Juneau to a Michael Franti concert this summer, August 6th. So all you have to do, give the station a ring-a-ding, 874-2345, or go into the web, ksdk.org, and your $150 donation will get you two tickets to Michael Franti at Centennial Hall in Juneau, August 6th. All right, diving into the community calendar today at the Senior Center is a stuffed beef roll, Brussels sprouts, apricot salad, and rice. Call 907-874-2066 to find out how the Wrangell Senior Center can help you out Tuesday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Wrangell Public School Board will hold a work session on Monday, May 6th in Evergreen Elementary School Room 101, beginning at 6:30 p.m. to review and discuss the superintendent evaluation tool. Although a quorum of the board will be present, no official action will be taken. The public is encouraged to attend. Nolan Center Movies, this Friday and Saturday, May 3rd and 4th at 6 p.m. is Kung Fu Panda 4. Sunday, May 5th at 2 p.m. is the Parent Teacher Community Club hosting Migration, open to all Evergreen Elementary School students. Sunday, May 5th, 2 p.m. And then again, folks, we have a movie, May 3rd and 4th at 6 p.m., Kung Fu Panda Numero Cuatro, the fourth Kung Fu Panda. Food donations are needed for the community paddle potluck. Celebrate the arrival of the canoe landing Tuesday, May 28th. Potluck dinner at the Nolan Center. To donate, contact Danica Smalley at 907-740-4445 or Christy Jamison, 907-305-0110. Again, 305-0117. I don't know why I just messed that whole thing up. Christy Jamison's number, 907-305-0117. 305-0117. And again, thanks to everyone who donated to KSCK's Spring Fundraiser. Many generous individuals and businesses have raised $18,100 toward KSDK's spring goal of $21,000. That's just $3,000 to go. Just a few grand to go, folks. If you've contributed, thank you. If you've not yet contributed, we encourage you to join the team of local broadcast supporters by making your donation today. You choose an amount that fits your budget. Local donations are essential to KSDK's existence and ability to provide Wrangell with news, music, and emergency alerts, high school basketball, borough assembly meetings, and all the rest. Please donate today online at ksdk.org or call the station 907-874-2345. Thanks. Wrangell Parks and Rec is offering a lifeguard course May 2nd through the 5th. The training course qualifies individuals to be hired as lifeguards, which can be a great first job and a way to get to know the community. Lifeguarding can also be a great part-time position for those who have other work. Parks and Rec is encouraging anyone age 15 and older to take the course. Having lifeguards on staff is necessary for the pool to be open, so if you love to swim, being a lifeguard could help keep the pool open for you and others. Contact Parks and Rec if you're interested in learning more. 907-874-2444. Free community plant workshop with Vivian Yecht-Mork in Wrangell, May 1st through the 2nd. A plant walk, harvesting, and processing class open to all. Location and other specifics are available upon registration. Space is limited. Apply at Community Plant 2024 or call 907-586-9112. And that's all the time we have in our community calendar. So we'll move on to synopsis for Southeast Alaska Interchannel Coastal Waters. High pressure remains over the Gulf.